Well, I hope you've enjoyed being in church tonight. There's been a lot of different aspects. It's so good to hear from Brother Tim. Good to see the missionary video. A lot going on down there. But we're thankful for what the Lord has allowed us to see here tonight. And as we get into the Word of God, I trust that it'll be a blessing to you as well. You know, I haven't spoke for the last three Wednesdays. We had our Equip series, and so we're glad to be back amongst everybody and back to be teaching through James. And so we're going to pick up where we left off on James chapter 2. We're going to look over the first 13 verses and we'll start off reading those. And then if you got the handout on the way in, you'll see that the title for tonight, No Place for Discrimination. And specifically, the Word of God is talking about those that are of high esteem and low esteem, high society and then low society, so to speak. But you can also apply it to any other area. And so I want you to please understand on the outset that this isn't a lesson on social justice that we're going to try to even everybody's score. I believe that the church is a place where everybody ought to be welcome. Everybody ought to be welcome. Now, you're not going to call everybody to be the pastor. I'm going to call everybody, asking everybody to be a Sunday school teacher. But everybody's welcome. And so sometimes, even in our nation that we live, especially in the nation we live, I guess, we've got the wrong, mistaken idea that everybody should be allowed to do the same thing as everybody else does. But there's one thing to give everybody the same opportunity. It's yet another thing to give everybody the same position. Everybody has an opportunity to be a doctor. But if you don't have a medical degree, I don't want you operating on me. You see the difference? And then same as it is in every other business, everybody in our nation, we've got programs that can allow people to go get education a lot of times free or very, very inexpensive, and they can rise up and then do whatever they see fit to do. And so it is in the church that we're not the people that are leveling the scores out there. What we're doing is trying to preach the message of gospel to every single person. And so our church, this church, a church, any church, should follow what the Scripture says here and help everyone see that the ground truly is level, according to the old saying, at the foot of the cross. If you've got the most money in here tonight, I'm happy for you. If you've got the least amount of money in the church tonight, I'm happy for you. I'm here for you as well. You know, as a procedure, I never have. My pastor just started that, and I followed suit. I never look to see what anybody in our church gives. I know what we give, my family, but other than that, I don't know what anybody gives. And that way, when you call and you need me to come see you, I'm not going to go through my mind and say, "Boy, I got to go see them. They're big givers." Or the opposite, that I don't have time because they don't give anything anyways, and they've been here for a long time. I have no idea. I'm not saying that so you'll be impressed with me. I'm telling you, the reason I do that is that I want to live out what this Scripture talks about. And that is just that everybody's welcome. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if they come unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring, if there come a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and the heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name of by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of it all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. This section of Scripture could almost just be read to you. It's so plain and straightforward. We really need to give very little comment, but I'm going to and break it down here in 3 points that the Lord seemed to divide it up as I was studying over this section. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. And as we go out, I don't believe we have any trouble with this in our church. I don't believe that you individually have any trouble, but I want us to know why we shouldn't discriminate against other people. It's because the Word of God says we ought not. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember this, that Christ in all of His deity, His holiness, His godliness, His lofty position, took on the lowly flesh of humanity. Not rich humanity either. You would have thought if the Lord was going to come down and experience what humans experience, He would have taken the richest of the society's classes of the day. But He did not do that either. And so for us, you can understand I want us to drive home. That's why I was trying to think about this as studying about it. For us to somehow set ourselves up above someone else who's of a lower echelon than we are, how disgusting that must be to the Lord when we realize what that the Lord was enrobed in human flesh. You see, we put a great amount of distance between somebody who maybe makes well into a six-figure income and somebody who starts off over here at McDonald's. But the difference between those two, or go up to a seven-figure income, between that distance, the distance between that income and somebody who starts over here at Burger King, that contrast there between those two is nothing compared to the highest of incomes when you compare that to the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they paved the streets with gold where we're going to go live. Walls of jasper. Gates of pearl. And you understand that the things that we value the most are valued very little there in heaven. So I want us to see tonight that it does not make any sense for us to value somebody's contribution more than another if we're doing it based on their worth. So I want to see, first of all, the need for Christ's love. In verses 1 through 5, we see that He has a love for all. No, the Bible says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning don't do this with respect to persons. We need to have this love for all out of verses 1 and verse number 2. If there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring, the picture that I conjure up in my mind would be a well-to-do person that's maybe a little bit stocky and a very expensive designer suit that he comes in, and people say, boy, now that guy looks like he's somebody. He looks like he's got some money by his obvious shoes and his coat and his suit coat and all this, maybe pulled up in a nice car, and somebody really takes the shine to him and helps him out. Now, you got to understand the context of the day. It says, saying to him, sit thou here in a good place, and then the other person, stand thou here. Now, in the Baptist church, that'd be different. We'd put the person we don't like up front because these seats are hardly ever go, and we'd said him, hey, would you like to be back here in the lobby where nobody will bother you? But you get the picture. And you have respect to him that weareth that gay clothing, that happy, that special, that good in clothing, and saying to him, sit thou here in a good place. But the Word of God says, we not only need to love that person, but we need to love all. We need to treat them all the same. Verse number 4, are you not partial then in your judgments and are become judges of evil thoughts? We just need to treat everybody the same. And our church, I know who I'm talking to. We've loved on people that were unlovely, but I'm telling our church that sometimes even when we do have a good outreach or we do have a history of helping people, sometimes even while you're helping them, you still help them with a little bit of edge on yourself and you think that, well, poor people, I'm going to help them out of the goodness of my heart. We'd do well just to drop all of that pretense and just help people because they're all got people who God loves. You understand if you didn't have quite some of the breaks that you did, you'd be calling for some benevolent help to a church somewhere. Or we'd be trying to find you and bring you in as well. And we need to treat all the same. But I want you to see as it goes on just a little bit in verse number 5, we need to remember what God values. And it's not that he values poor more than he does rich, but all throughout the scriptures we understand that there's a theme that God has chosen to use the poor of this world. How does he bring forth faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's the foolishness of preaching. There's the widow that gave in her mite that Jesus used as a great lesson to the people there. And he's all the time, again and again, using people who are lowly in the world's eyes, but high in God's eyes to teach us stubborn people a lesson. There's nobody that God doesn't love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I know that it's easy for us. I grew up being taught to work and having it drilled into me, and it's easy for us that have been taught some of those good character traits, and we should be taught those, but it's easy for us that are taught those good character traits to look down on those that don't have those good character traits and say, well, if they had some more of that, then they could do something. And you're right, but you're wrong. You're right in that that's true, but we're wrong when we think that we're the ones that have to be those that dish out judgment. Because we can leave all that to the Lord. Now, this is to you as a Christian. Now, if you're an employer in this room, then you have to go deeper than that, and you have to look for some character traits, and you have to see who's actually going to show up for work. I get all that. I'm not preaching to you as an employer. I'm preaching to us as children of God, that we just need to have a heart that's open to ultimately give the gospel to everybody, and remember that what God values. Remember, as I said, that Jesus didn't come into a ritzy family, but a poor family, a working class family. Somebody had to get out and earn it, or else it wasn't going to get done. So we need to remember that what God values. But I want you to see not only that, but look at verse number 6 and 7. Here God just gives a little illustration of the injustices, because the writer tells to the readers, you've despised the poor. I mean, you've belittled them. You put them down. But then he turns around. He says, hey, haven't you had some rich people oppress you? That's I'm putting the emphasis on there. Emphasis is mine. Hey, haven't you had some rich people that oppressed you? How'd that feel? Is basically what he's asking. I look in verse number 6. Hath not God, or verse number, hey, you've despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Meaning that when somebody didn't have the money to pay, then they would have been brought to the legal system and said, this guy right here. And it's almost as if God is using James to write back to say, haven't you had some people look down their long nose at you? You remember that story that Jesus told about the person that was forgiven a lot by his rich master, and then as soon as he was forgiven something, or not a lot, but forgiven some by his rich master, then he goes right out and wants to really hold it against that person that just owes less than what he got forgiven. We all know what it's like to be mistreated. It really kind of stinks. We know what it's like to be looked down upon, and all of us. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody's had some, even if it was unjustified, we know what that feels like. And that's what the scriptures is talking about. They've drawn you before the judgment seats. And then they've even, in verse number 7, they blaspheme that holy name. God reminds us we've been mistreated. And what these lessons should do is teach us what it feels like to be seen as less than whoever you're in the company with. And then we realize in verse number 7, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called. And so what he was referencing there was, when they've unjustly criticized and held against you, you, a believer in Jesus Christ, they've belittled your worth. The Bible is very clear. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. But that's same for the whoever the most distressed person in the Tri-Cities area is tonight, he or she is fearfully, wonderfully made. And there's somebody for whom Jesus died. And so I see this, the illustration of the injustices. God says to these people, said, you've been mistreated. And they teach us, though, that when they mistreat us, they're mistreating somebody who God, Jesus Christ, loves. And then when we teach some or treat somebody, rather, in a lesser fashion, and I challenge you, it doesn't matter what industry you're talking about. You know, as us as Christians, when we go into a business, we don't have a right one to look down on anybody, doesn't matter what job they're performing. I challenge you, when you go check into a hotel or you go get served by somebody and that's their job, let them do that job. But they're doing that job because that's the job that they've signed up to do. That does not decrease their value in the sight of God any. And some industries are worse than others about that. People think they're the upper echelon and they can just really, really, really dismiss the people below them. But not in God's economy. To mistreat the poor, here's what we're doing. We're opposing the law of Jesus Christ. I want you to see that in verse number 8 through 13. The observation, James calls it that royal law. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, back in Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you fulfill that, then you do well. And then contrast it out. We see that, number one, we're supposed to love our neighbor, yes. But if you have respect to persons, meaning you pay attention to somebody over another person, you commit sin. It's amazing that God doesn't candy coat things. He doesn't say, that's not nice. You know, sometimes we don't like to call it what it is. We like to come up with names for a lot of things. Oh, he's stubborn. Oh, we don't want to say that. He's determined. He's hard-headed. Oh, no, he's dedicated. And in this passage, God doesn't say, that's not nice if you value somebody over the other. What does God say? That's a sin. It's really pretty blunt. So whenever I drive through somewhere, and all of us are guilty of it, let's be honest, and we look at somebody that doesn't keep up their, maybe their house or whatever as well as you do, or they don't keep up their stuff, or they aren't as hard a worker, or they will dismiss that person. And we have to be careful, even as we raise our children, not to teach them to be superior. We got to drive hard work into them. But let that be the reward, that hard work and the rewards of it, or the results of it. Let that be the reward, not the reward of getting to look down on somebody else who doesn't do like you taught your kids to do. Isn't it amazing how hard it is for us to just let the reward of what that hard work provides them, instead of casting a holier-than-thou look down at somebody else? And let's just not forget that if the change of roles had been reversed just a little bit, again, it very well could be us. You know the old saying, there but by the grace of God go I, whenever you'd see. I mean, it used to be very common. People would say that when they would see somebody, maybe a bum or somebody who was wouldn't work or something. Well, there but by the grace of God go I. And so we see that we're supposed to love our neighbor, this royal law. But I want you to see, he not only calls the royal law, and I just love that phraseology that God puts in there, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor. But if you have respect to persons, you sin. And what do you do? What happens to you? You're convinced of the law as transgressors. As if it's not enough just to call it sin, God goes ahead and says, nope. Not only are you sinning, it's just the law has pinned your hide to the wall. Now, it goes on to say, talk about the inability to keep the law. And so really what God is saying is, we seem to dismiss this sin. It's amazing how we categorize them, you know, the big ones and the small ones and all that. God says it's sin. And so we've got an inability to keep the whole law, verse 9 through 11. We see if you respect a person, you commit sin. But verse number 10, I should say, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Now, there is some misteaching in this passage, and sometimes people say, well, that's right, you might as well just kill somebody as think about it. Nobody's ever went to prison for thinking about it. It's wrong to think about it. But there are some things in the scriptures where God even puts some classifications about adultery and sins against your own body. God puts some different consequences on some things. But sometimes we've wrongfully misinterpreted this passage, and we said, see, that means one sin is just as bad as another. Well, you'd have a hard time convincing those people that blasphemed the Holy Ghost when Jesus was teaching because they committed the unpardonable sin. versus some others. So this is not what that verse teaches. In a way it is, in a way it's not. Let me explain. What we understand from the scriptures is, if you're not going to keep the whole law, everything, which is impossible, but if you're not going to keep the whole law, then you're guilty. Meaning that if you were hanging off of a, one commentator put it like this, if you were hanging from a ledge and there was a chain that was hanging you off the ledge with 10 links in it, how many links have to break before you fall to the bottom? Only one. And so it is with our sin. We have an inability to keep the whole law. Therefore, we are sinners. And it's interesting that God puts that right on the heels of that, what he called us when we look down our nose at people. He says, you got respect of persons? That's a sin. And then he moves right into what we call the big ones, because he says, for he that saith, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. If you don't commit adultery, yet you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. We get that. But God says we have an inability to keep the whole law. Therefore, the weight of the whole law comes down on us. And it's strange or interesting and unique and heartwarming, I guess, that God puts that right on the tail end of this passage that talks about favoring somebody who comes in that door over somebody who comes in that door. Because we know this guy is somebody. You know, we had the opening of the auditorium here, the mayor, Joe Grandy, was here, and different ones of our representatives were here, and we set them in places just so we can have them come up and speak, but we don't set them in places because they're any better than anybody else. And so it's amazing that God puts that in together with these other sins, and so we've got an inability to keep the whole law. Let me finish up in verse number 12 and 13. We see the blessings of mercy. So speak ye, and so do ye, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. God says, I'm serious about this thing. I'm not just saying this is a nice thing, it's a good thing to do to be nice to everybody. I'm saying you're sinning if you're not. For he that shall have judgment without mercy, mercy on that unkept person, mercy on that societal outcast. For he that shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And we remember the blessings of mercies. God's message is mercy. But remember that we're in this age of grace. We're in this age where God says, come. But there will be a day. You remember there was a day when Noah and his three boys and their families entered that ark. And for those 120 years, the preacher of righteousness was telling everybody. But eventually the door was shut. There will be a time that he will have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. But the Bible goes on to say, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. It's going to be a sad day one of these days for the unsaved, because they'll stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. And I don't know how all that will work as they're called from hell to just stand before the Lord only to be cast back into the lake of fire. But something we often forget about, and I'll just leave you with, it's not, this passage is not teaching about it, but it does talk about the end. It also won't be a picnic on the other judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, for all those that are of us are saved. Now, it will be a picnic, I guess, in the way that everybody's there, the judgment seat of Christ, you're in. You're heaven bound, you're in, you're in, you're on, you're going to heaven, you're going to live forever. But the Bible says that we'll give an account for that life that we've lived after we were saved. And when that fire tries our works, and we see what's left to be a blessing and honor to the Lord, I believe it'll be a sad time. That's not what the lesson, that's not what the passage is about, but I just got my mind got thinking about that. That mercy rejoiceth It's a joy against judgment. So the good thing is, right here, are we? All of us are. If we have looked down our long Pharisaical noses at people, God's given us tonight to get right. If you've looked down on people that had a subservient job, God's given this message tonight for you to say, no more. If you've thought you were so superior because you've got a work ethic and somebody else doesn't, and that's what's provided you your beautiful house and your stuff and all that, God's given you tonight to get that low-down heart right. Because really, that's what it is. Because the Bible says that's sin. You say, yeah, but aren't we supposed to work hard? Yes. But let's leave all those things to the Lord, and let's let us just love people like we're supposed to. No place for discrimination or preference. Again, I give this little disclaimer, time out or parentheses here. If you're hiring people, if you're taking tenants in your rental house, if you are letting people hang around your family, or if you're the pastor of this church and we're letting people work with our children, then that's a different story. Because we got background checks and we have all these things in place because we're tasked with the safety of people. So please, let's separate those two. But as far as the value, I may be the pastor of this church, but I'm certainly no better than the poorest person who comes because somebody invites him on Easter Sunday. And we need to make sure that we live our lives remembering that Jesus died for all. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us not to be so haughty, dear Lord. Oh God, we need your help. Lord, we were nothing when you found us, and if we have anything to, we shouldn't brag, but if we have anything to be thankful for, it's only because of the work you've done in us. In my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to get into this tonight. And I pray if there's somebody, dear Lord, that's been wrestling with this, looking down their nose at somebody, thinking they're superior, oh, Lord, fix it in their hearts tonight, I pray, and we'll thank you for it. If you're able to, would you stand together as they play something through? If God's moved upon your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you want to pray here. Maybe you want to pray there. Maybe there's just something in your life right now you're thinking about, Lord, forgive me. Here I was thinking of superior. Forgive me. Maybe there's something else in your heart and you want to come pray about, then please make your way to the altar. If you're here today and you're not saved, I didn't preach the gospel message necessarily about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, but I danced all around it and told you that he died on the cross. He came for every soul. If you're here tonight, not sure you're saved, would you come? Well, thank you. You may look this way. Again, a joy to be in church tonight, and I rejoice tonight with you and let you know that Ms. Pam Tipton has desires to unite in fellowship with our church here, and she's saved and baptized and wants to join by statement of faith, and we thank the Lord for her, and so we're looking forward to her joining with us. And so if we'd have a motion to accept that, Brother Marty Scroggs makes that motion. We'd need a second to make that motion, Daniel Wakefield, and all in favor? Say aye. All opposed, same sign. Well, praise the Lord. And motion carries. And I hope you get by and meet Miss Pam. And we thank the Lord for her. You'll be seeing a lot of her, of course. And we want you to come by and get to know her. And we're certainly glad you've been here, came with us and joined tonight. What a pleasure. What a joy. Well, don't forget, please, on your way out, you can come up and see her and greet her and thank the Lord for her. But also don't forget, on your way out, there are Easter invite cards out there. We've got one more invitation or visitation time next Tuesday, but take you a stack of these. I've been giving them out. I've been giving them out at the hospital to the some of our church members that are in there. A lot of them said, give me another stack, preacher, and they're passing them out to people as they come in, their nurses and whoever else. And so please take those. And then on Easter Sunday, we're going to have the Blue Room, which is Miss Charlotte Bryant and Lana's Sunday School room down here. We'll have it open. We'll have the television will be on. It'll be live streamed from here or hardwired. I don't remember how they do that, but it'll be showing the service for in here. I know it's not as enjoyable to be in there as it is in here, but if you don't have a guest with you or something and you want to make your way over there, also we'll do the same for Brother Rick Hall's Sunday School class, the one this way. We'll play it in there as well. And so that will give us a little bit more room in here. Of course, the choir will be up this Sunday and for the next several Sundays, but this Sunday will be one of them, but then Easter Sunday will be one of them. And so we'll put some extra chairs back here. I would like you to pray for a tremendous day on Easter, that God would just give us a phenomenal crowd and just do a great work. And so let's pray and work. And take a few of these invite cards, and that's just 1 week from Sunday. And then please don't forget, this Sunday, though, is Family Day. Amy's brother will be here. He'll be preaching for us. He's a delightful speaker, and it's not just because he's my brother-in-law or my pastor, but he's a delightful speaker, and I challenge you to be here. And if you've got family that's anywhere within driving distance, please have them come. Sit with you in church and be here just as a family gather in. I believe that we'll have a wonderful, wonderful day this Sunday too. So thank you so much for being in church. Hope you get by and meet Miss Pam on your way out. God bless you. You're dismissed.